Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Welcome to ET First Contact Radio. I am your host, Martin Horst from the Netherlands. I am a universal being, and I have another universal being who is on the show, and his name is Jeffrey Becker. Welcome, Jeffrey. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have you, and I learned that you have quite an interesting story to tell us. Just go ahead and tell us about it. Tell us about your ET experiences.
Well, it can be a long story depending on how I tell it. I first got interested again in UFOs. Sometime in 2007, I discovered the Disclosure Project. And that was really the first time I'd seen any information that I thought was compelling. But not wanting to simply believe based on what somebody has written or what somebody else has said, I thought it would be good if I could see for myself. And Dr. Greer has another project called CSETI, C-S-E-T-I, which is the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And what he does is a number of trainings or expeditions or workshops where he claimed you would learn to be an ambassador to the universe. You would learn to interact with extraterrestrials. And so I thought I would go and see if that were true.
Right.
So in the fall of 2008, I went to an ambassador training, and it was awesome. I can't go into a great deal of detail about everything that happened, but I can tell you some things that, happened were left me with no doubt. There are also things that happened away from the training that were quite interesting.
Well, anything you want to share with the audience is welcome.
Okay, so I'm getting a little bit of an echo here.
It's better now.
Oh, let's see. I've still got it. But I'll go ahead. Besides the training, there were things that happened away from the training. For example, in the hotel room where I was staying, people were finding that the rooms were vibrating when they were in meditation. So there were these vibrations that were happening, and everybody that was staying in that hotel was wondering what they were. And the vibrations were very strong. So at first I just heard about it from somebody else that was there. And then I experienced it in my own room. And the picture was rattling on the wall, and the lamp on the table was rattling, and it was fairly strong. It lasted about 5 minutes. And my first guess was that there was a vibrating bed in the next door that was shaking the room. Only thing is, there were no vibrating beds in that hotel. And so people were trying to figure this out, and they're going and looking on the roof to see if maybe somebody's working on the roof, or some people thought it was an earthquake, and some people thought maybe it's a washing machine down the hall. The only thing was if you walked along the outdoor walkway, you would see that you could tell which room the vibration was going on in. And so I decided that it was the ETs doing it. And so I called my wife and told her that that's what I thought. And then when I hung up, I went to pick up a remote control for the television, and I kept pushing the power button, and nothing happened. And so I decided that maybe that was a clue. And so I put down the remote and sat down to meditate, and right away the vibration started up again. And I lost focus for a little bit in my meditation, and the vibrations started to go away. And then I thought, well, okay, if this is good for me, continue. And the vibration picked up again, and then it continued again for a second 5 minute cycle. And I decided that maybe that was an indication that I had guessed correctly.
That sounds very interesting. And that was during the workshop that you were attending from Dr. Stephen Greer.
Right. And I mentioned it to him, and he sort of just gave me a puzzled look and asked what that was about, and we really never had a discussion about it. But there are things that go on besides in the workshop when you're doing this. And, of course, in the workshop, we were seeing interesting things in the sky all week. And part of what happens is near the end, you're assigned an ET contact. And so I took that very seriously, and I thought about my ET contact all the way home. And the next night after I got home, I went out in the back porch and was looking to the south, and there was a very long, sparkly meteor of the sort we've been seeing all week. It's not like any meteor I've ever seen before or otherwise, because it's like the sparklers they have for the 4th of July, where they throw out sparks like crazy. It's like somebody took one of those and threw it. It was that sparkly. It's very unusual. So I then asked if the ETs would give me some kind of manifestation to show that they were still around. And about a week later, the smoke alarm in the hall near my wife's office started going off. And of course, there wasn't a fire. And also, normally when the smoke alarm goes off, it goes in three beeps. So it'll go beep, 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 beep. Only it was making random beeps. So it would do like one beep and then two beeps and three and two and one and two and just random. And it got annoying, so I took the battery out. But I thought maybe something was up. So the next day, I put the battery back in and set the smoke alarm on my desk. And around noon, it started doing it again. And so I went into meditation and thought, well, okay, guys, I get it, but it's just too loud. And the alarm went silent immediately. And it's been fine ever since. It hasn't done that ever since. And I put it back on the ceiling, and it's fine. So so that was kind of interesting.
It's very fascinating story. Did you hear about the possible disclosure on Saturday the 4th?
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. So what I want to ask you, Jeffrey, is that did you hear about possible disclosure on Saturday the 4th? There's rumors about it that UFOs will display on the Olympic Games on Saturday.
Yeah, I usually take all such predictions with a large grain of salt. So far, there have been many of that sort, and nothing has really happened. So if it does, I think that it'd be wonderful, but I'm not holding my breath.
Right, but we are, of course, on the second half of 2012 now. So do you think disclosure is imminent, or that because of with the financial crisis and all the things that are changing in the world, it might be the right time to make contact, isn't it?
Well, anybody can make contact any time, and that's sort of the lesson I'd like to share, is that we can all do this. All you have to do is get out under the stars and ask in a sincere manner to see that our star friends are there. And if you work at it, it'll happen. So whether disclosure happens in a big way, I don't know. There is a grassroots movement afoot, which involves people like me, that have small groups, and we go out and we see things pretty much any time we want to work at it. And certainly my group is one of many all around the world, and people do this on a regular basis, and they regularly see very amazing things. So I'm not waiting for what I'd call top-down disclosure. I think the people can do this. And if top-down disclosure never happens, it's not going to matter, because everybody's going to know soon enough.
Right. And then, of course, the last few weeks and months, there are more and more displays of UFOs all around the world. Have you noticed that too?
Right. There's a big difference between seeing a video or seeing something on television even, and seeing with your own eyes. And it's a little hard to describe it if you haven't felt it. But any video can be manipulated. Any video can be, they can be created, they can be faked. So you're always left with a certain amount of doubt as to what it is you're seeing. You don't know the characteristics of the cameras, or the various devices used for making the recording. The resolution is typically not all that good. And so unless a ship is going to come in and land in a well-lit area, what you're going to see is not going to be that great.
Whether or not the footage is real, the reports that are coming in are increasing. That's what I see.
Yeah, it's definitely encouraging. And the various contact groups are definitely seeing more activity and more close-up, interesting, intense activity. And like I say, anybody can do this, and all you have to do is try. So, but there's of course is also the question of a false flag event and whether a top down disclosure will be an excuse to start a war against the ETs. So that's something I'm always kind of leery of.
And yeah, that's what I heard of too. Those rumors are circling around on the internet.
Right. And Carol Rosen who was one of the witnesses of the Disclosure Project in 2001, has been delivering this message for quite a while.
Right.
And her information came from Dr. Werner von Braun, who said this was part of a long-term plan.
Yeah, I've heard it. And Werner von Braun said it's the last big instrument that will use is a false flag, ET flag event.
Right, so it's important that people are aware of this so that they're not taken in.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I believe that it can be prevented as well.
Yeah, possibly. Again, people get out and see with their own eyes what ETs do and what they typically look like, then it's less likely they'll be confused. And I think it's pretty well established that Dr. Werner von Braun was warned of this, and Carol Rosen has been delivering that message for quite a while. And what I was trying to say is that if people get out under the stars and learn for themselves firsthand what the ETs look like, what their ships look like, then they're less likely to be misled. There is supposedly, I don't have any firsthand information on this, but there's supposedly technology that the black world has that looks very much like flying saucer technology. But their nuts and bolts machines aren't anywhere near the level of sophistication of what the extraterrestrials have.
Yeah, I believe they are very advanced indeed. And I've heard messages from people that the negative ETs are being kept out of our solar system. What's your information about that, that there are only positive ETs now here?
I have been told that action has been taken to remove them. This information is from a person who, Don Daniels, in his book Evolution Through Contact, identifies as Sarah Five, and who I heard speaking at a conference. I think that's probably a credible source. I've also heard it from other sources that they have been removed. And really, the future is looking pretty bright at this point. It's just going to take a while to work through all the changes that are needed.
Yes, indeed. And I'm quite hopeful for the future, in fact. And
I got about half a sentence there.
Share, Jeffrey, some more information on your personal experiences that you had with ETs.
Sure. So, a little more about me is that before I started into this, I was not at all spiritual. I don't come at this from a spiritual point of view. I'm a very logical person. I'm a computer programmer. I have a master's in computer science. I really like physics and science, and I pretty much have a very scientific, logical, analytical outlook on things. So I'm very critical of my own observations and take all this very seriously. And in computer science, I studied artificial intelligence, and I was pretty much convinced that everything that the mind does can be explained by the operation of the brain. And part of that, the implication of that is that there's no such thing as ESP or telepathy or anything like that. So when I got into UFOs and ETs and all of that, it immediately became apparent that a lot of people that were having these experiences were also experiencing telepathic communication. And that was kind of a shock to my system, because my theory of how the mind works wouldn't accommodate that. It was kind of a major transformation for me. I spent all of one day laughing about how wrong I was to be so very certain of the scientific point of view and my own fairly atheistic point of view. And so all that has changed rather drastically in a fairly short time. And like I said, with the vibrations and the smoke alarm, I've experienced telepathic interaction with physical results based on things I was thinking. And it goes quite a bit beyond that in other experiences I've had, where there were indications by things moving in the sky in response to thoughts I've had. So let me explain one of those sequences that happened over a period of weeks. When I got back from the training in 2008, the next spring in 2009, I set up a working group, it's just a group of people, and we got into the stars and we asked ETs to come and show themselves in whatever way is safe for them and safe for us. And I'd say they frequently do, but I also went out under the stars a lot on my own. And one night I was out asking the ETs if they would please show the group a ship that one person had told me about that they'd seen in Florida. And I saw a streak at the zenith from north to south. By streak, I mean, if you think of like a vehicle moving by rapidly and a light turns on in that vehicle and then it turns off while the vehicle's still moving, that's what I mean by a streak. It's a light that comes on, moves, and goes off. And they can be sometimes ambiguous. They can look a lot like a meteor, except the light, the characteristic of the light can be different, and there's no tail to speak of. Like a meteor is an incandescent grain of sand, and it leaves a trail of material that's burnt off the grain of sand that glows for a little while. So you can kind of tell the difference, and then when it's in response to your thoughts, you can really tell the difference. And so I saw this streak from north to south, and I thought, I think I'll take that as a no. And then immediately there was another horizontal streak near the southern horizon from right to left. And I laughed because I didn't know if that was a confirmation that yes, it was no, or if that was a correction from no to yes. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'm a computer programmer. I work in binary. How about if to show me no, you do a vertical streak from high to low? And so I thought that, and I traced the motion with my eyes, but nothing else happened right away. And so a little while later, we were having a group meeting, and it had been raining out. And so we were inside and joking around about wanting to, you know, see a ship land and kick the tires and stuff like that. And the rain quit. And I told everybody, well, let's go out and see if they're ready to interact with us now. So I went to the side door and looked out to where our chairs were sitting in a circle. And right away, it was still a rainy night. There were low clouds. I mean, the ceiling was, I don't know, maybe a few hundred feet up. The clouds were really, really low and really thick. And so here's this wide disc of light moving from just under the clouds to almost hitting the ground very quickly, right over where our chairs were. And I was like waiting to hear a crash. But that was a very, very obvious use of the signal I had requested, the vertical streak. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe they're not ready to interact with us tonight. Only I wasn't ready to take no for an answer. So we went out anyway, and I made a request in thought for them to show one person who had driven several hours to get there something. And in fact, he saw an elliptical disk of light across the field from us. But that's all that happened that night. That was it. So I thought it was really, first of all, it was generous of the ETs to come out and tell us no on a night when it really wasn't good for them to do something. And also for them to grant my one request I had for the person that had driven a long way. Now, there was another time they used that signal. And it was about 4 in the morning. This was probably another, I don't know, a couple of weeks later. I had been to the airport to pick up my daughter and had drunk a lot of caffeine, and I couldn't get to sleep. So it's 4 in the morning. I'm outside, like leaning on my car, and there's a diagonal streak just off to the right of where I was looking. And so I thought, okay, I think that's you, but I can't quite see. And immediately there's another diagonal streak right where I'm looking, and this is towards the east. And then off to the side again, to my right. And so I looked right, and there's another diagonal streak off to the right of where I'm looking, just on the edge of what I can see. And so I looked right again, and there's another diagonal streak. I looked right again, there's another diagonal streak. And finally, I'm looking off to the southwest, and there's a vertical streak starting right near Jupiter and going down to where my shop is. And so I spent quite a bit of time puzzling out what that meant, because I thought, no Jupiter? Why would he say no Jupiter? And it was confusing because I'd seen a couple other signals having to do with Jupiter in the time in between. And eventually I figured out they were telling me, no, I'm not supposed to use my shop for a while on it. It has to do with personal reasons that I won't go into. But so there was this sequence of interactions over a period of time that showed, first of all, that telepathic interaction was happening, and second of all, that I'm interacting with an intelligent being of some sort who remembers these previous requests and these previous interactions. And so for somebody who had no belief at all in telepathy before this was pretty profound.
Yes, it does sound very profound. And with all those signs, they cannot make it more clear. And just imagine, Jeffrey, that contact would happen and that we would meet all those civilizations from outer space.
Yes. That's what I want. The way I understand it is that they're operating at a higher spiritual level than we are. And for us to interact with them requires that we meet them halfway. So we need to raise our vibration, if you will. These are kind of new terms for me. Like, I'm not a spiritual person, and I'm getting there, but I'm still learning these concepts. So raising your vibration, being more loving and cheerful and joyful and that sort of thing. That's part of where you need to be able to interact with these beings that are at this higher level, because otherwise they can't really tolerate being in our presence. It's painful for them. So that's part of what needs to happen. The other part is we need to learn to communicate the way they communicate, which is telepathically. And I'd say that I'm not very good at it. I guess I'm very loud, but I'm not very good at listening. That's what my experience has shown me. There was another CSETI event that was in Rio Rico. And so this is one of those experiences that sort of illustrates this. I was making a lot of requests for the ETs to show something more overt than what they'd done so far. And I was being kind of persistent about it. And so one evening we went into a meditation, and I felt this presence in front of me. And I heard in my mind's ear, if you will, but probably just as clearly as if somebody had been standing there talking to me. And what was being said was, there are more important things than seeing us. Do you understand? And I was kind of taken aback by that. But it was pretty clearly a message that I needed to pay attention to. So,
yeah, it's not the usual ways of communicating that we focus on as a Earth civilization, because it's apparent that the things like raising your vibration and developing telepathy are more important, as you say, than seeing them. So they have other values or higher values. So, but imagine that contact happens, that they land on our surface. How do you think the merging will happen, and how do you see the world will change?
I'm still seeing it as a gradual process. So those who are ready will be moving into there's a lot of talk about moving into the fifth dimension and things like that. And the way I understand it is that's an internal process. The world itself is still going to be the world, but it's we who will change. It's we who will move individually, depending on what we're ready for. And it's those who move first that will bring the rest along. That's just my understanding of it. Also, some people I've talked to, this lady, Sarah Five, who Don Daniels talks about. She's told me that, yeah, it's going to be a gradual process. And it might take generations, and it's going to happen through individuals who raise their vibration, through star seeds, through it's just every means imaginable, really. And to a certain extent through interventions, but a lot of these interventions are not going to be obvious to people who aren't ready. So the big Dobranek event, it'd be nice, but I'm not sure that's the way it's going to go.
Well, it's just I think it's important to be open and to wait and see what will happen.
Yeah. I would love for there to be a big dramatic event, as long as it didn't panic everybody. And my feeling from the interactions I've had is that these are very loving beings. They're very considerate, very generous with their time. The number of times they show up for me is just mind-boggling and baffling. It's I don't think I'm anybody special, and so for them to take the amount of time to show up for me it's given me a new concept of the sorts of beings they are. So I don't think they're going to do something that's going to cause a lot of turmoil.
I just want to say, Jeffrey, I think you are special, because everybody is special in its own way. So,
well, but I also want to say that anybody can do what I'm doing. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
If people want to see with their own eyes, and anybody that's listening to your show, if they haven't seen the ETs with their own eyes, haven't seen the light ships in the sky or even beings on the ground, some people have seen those, then they should try. There are a number of groups that support this sort of thing. There are working groups in various places. There's a group. Oops, something's dinging. There's a group coordinated by Costa Macrice called the CE5 Initiative, and he has a mailing list where people that go out once a month will report back to say what they've seen. And so anybody that wants to find out if there's a group in their area can contact Costa. And they can probably get in touch with me to get that email address. And then, of course, there's the CSETI trainings and things like that. But those accommodate fairly small numbers of people. But really, you don't need a lot of training or anything to do this. It's just a matter of pure intent, joyful outlook, and real desire, and just go out into the stars and make a wish, as it were. Just ask. So if you can meditate even a little bit, you can do this.
I heard people say that if you are generous and ask, then they will show up.
They will, yeah. And it's happened for a number of people I know. There's one of the people is writing a chapter for the book I'm working on. He pretty much asked one time, and then he was driving down a mountain, and he saw a silver ship as he's driving down a mountain. So, I mean, it'll happen. There's other people I know, the first time they asked, that they saw something just astounding. So you don't need to wait for somebody else to do this for you. It's really between each of us individually and the ETs. It's not you don't need the government to tell you that it's true. You can go and see. And pretty much everybody I know this has happened for, it's really changed their life.
Yeah, it has changed my life. I've been to England to see the crop circles last year and the year before, and it's so fascinating to see the shapes on the crop circles. I've been in an airplane and I have observed them. It's really beautiful. What's your take on crop circles?
Getting echoes again. Yeah. You know, I think there are some that are real, if you will. Was an interesting talk I went to by Colin Andrews we're getting echo. But he was talking about the consciousness connection with crop circles, and so he talked about one individual who had requested that a particular crop circle be made in a particular location. There was another individual who was intent on hoaxing a crop circle that went to this particular location and made the pattern that had been requested. So it's kind of amusing. There's a connection between people that are making crop circles and people that are requesting crop circles. But there are also, I'm pretty sure, some that are not being made by people. Making crop circles and people that request crop circles. But then, I'm pretty sure some are not. Yeah. Wow, that's a lot of echo.
What I learned in England is that when I saw the crop circle,
oh, I can't hear you, Martin.
Okay. You can see a difference between crop circles that are man-made and that are not man-made.
Yes. So I haven't been out to see them firsthand, so I can't really comment on that. But I think that's true.
Yeah, because the shapes of the ones that are, let's say, made by ETs are really so perfect. There's no error at all. And there's no trace around the circle that anything has approached it. It's really done by light bulbs or light objects.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are stories of other interesting things happening around crop circles. There's definitely something unusual going on there.
Yeah, I met Stephen Greer once in a crop circle, and he was just sitting there and meditating with a group. And I said, mm-hmm. "Hey, that's Stephen Greer." But you know, all the there are many people that are famous on internet, like Patricia Corey, Stephen Greer, many others.
You
hear me now?
Yeah.
I was saying that this group of people that are specialized in contact with ETs is growing larger, and that you can see they're all connected via the internet. And I think that's quite an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, there are a number of Facebook groups. There are a couple that are very focused on individuals who are interested in making contact. Let's see. One of those is called the CE5 Initiative, and another one is called ECO, Extraterrestrial Contact Organization. And those are private groups, but it's not that difficult to get invited if you have a serious interest. And I've made a number of connections in the process of the book I'm working on, which the working title is Paths to Contact, and people can find out more about that at www.pasttocontact.org. And so, yeah, I've made a number of connections just working on this book, and I've learned a lot from the people that are contributing their stories to that book.
Right, and in your book,
Oh, I wish I could hear you.
In your book, you are trying to encourage people so that they make their own contact. Isn't that true?
Right. That's one of the purposes of the book, is to encourage people to get out there and try this, to make their own contact. Because once you've seen with your own eyes, nobody can lie to you about this subject anymore. You know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that there are extraterrestrials. They are here, and they already interact. And the other thing about this book is that there's really still a culture of ridicule about this subject. People are still afraid to tell their stories. And so by getting together a group of pretty, you know, they're not famous people. They're you know, postal workers and computer programmers like me, and people with normal jobs and normal lives that are having extraterrestrial contact. And now they're telling their stories. And so I hope that the group of us can set an example, because I know there are lots and lots and lots of people out there that have seen something unusual, or their fathers have seen something unusual, their children have seen something very unusual, and they're afraid to talk about it. And that needs to change. People need to be able to talk about this subject.
That's why I think it's very courageous of you to step in the program and tell your story, Jeffrey. I think it's very good.
Well, thank you. I'm just trying to do my part.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job so far. Very good. So, is there anything connected to the ET story that you think people should be aware of, that you think that's important for people to know?
Oh, I guess there are a lot of things. But the most important thing I've found out about this is that it goes way, way, way beyond we're not alone. And it has to do with what it means to be a sentient being, what it means to be alive, what it means for past lives and future lives, what the power of mind is. Our thoughts are very, very powerful, and we have to be very careful about what we think and how we think in order to create this positive future. I said to a number of people that UFOs are they're one of the gateways to awakening. And awakening is just the beginning of a process of learning I'm not sure it's the right word, but enlightenment, to learn who you really are. It's time for people to open their minds about not just whether there are UFOs in the sky, because there are. I mean, there are certainly things up there that we can't identify. But more importantly, to understand who we are and what our potential is, which is just, it's amazing. We're amazing beings, and our future can be incredible if we let it be, if we just try. There's no reason for there to be conflict in the world that really needs to end.
That's beautifully put. Very beautiful. And I think that indeed our potential is beyond our wildest dreams. And so I think because of the UFOs are here and the ETs are trying to make contact with us, it's an opportunity for us to develop our...
I'm missing the last part of that.
I think that because of the ETs are here, it's an opportunity for humankind to develop a better world.
I agree, and I think it's just starting. One aspect of that is energy technology. There is technology on the planet now being kept secret or being suppressed that would eliminate the need for petroleum products. There are researchers who have discovered these things in the past, and some of them have been killed. Some of the inventions have been put on shelves. It's really kind of a depressing story to know that we haven't needed gasoline for the last 50 years because the inventions have existed that long that would have made it possible for anybody to have a generator in their home that would work forever and supply all their power needs. It would eliminate poverty pretty much overnight just to have this. But certain people who want to maintain the status quo and their position of power and our position of dependency don't want this to happen. So I think that's possibly as big a part of disclosure as the fact that we're not alone. It's the fact that we don't need to be dependent. We don't need to be enslaved, if you will.
I agree totally on that. I totally agree. And about the energy question, because we can supply the whole world with zero-point energy, no pollution, and those people in power try to prevent it. Do you think at some point the ETs will interfere so that honest leaders can lead the world?
I'm not sure what the level of interference will be. I think that there's going to be some steps taken to make this happen. Exactly how that'll work out, I really don't know. I think it's going to be subtle. It may not be as obvious as some people are predicting, and that seems to be the way spiritual things happen. It's subtle, but
it's smooth.
Yeah, smooth, subtle. It's not horribly disruptive. So things will happen. People will start making better, kinder decisions at high levels, and suddenly the world, well, maybe not so suddenly, but gradually the world will be getting better. And I think we'd all like for it to happen overnight. I'm certainly one of the most impatient people around, and I would really love for this to happen overnight. But what I'm hearing is that it's going to be a process, and it'll take a little bit of time to work that out. And there's Dr. Greer is working on a new movie called Sirius, and I don't know what all is going to go into it. But he's getting new witnesses. I think he's definitely going to spend time on the energy question. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. That's supposed to come out at the end of this year, around December.
Right, and I heard about this movie, Sirius. If Dr. Stephen Greer is going to put attention to the energy question, because when the majority of the world population knows that for 50 or 60 years, like you said, there is free energy and that we have been enslaved, I think the direction will be that it will be difficult to swallow this for people if they know about it.
Yeah, heck, it's part of the problem is enough people need to know about it and need to accept the reality of this possibility that they can't be lied to anymore. Conventional science would have you believe that there's no free lunch. Well, it's these devices aren't necessarily a free lunch. It's like we already have free energy devices. They're called solar cells and windmills. They don't use any fuel, but you get energy out of them. And there's nothing about these devices that says they're getting something from nothing. It's just our science doesn't currently describe the processes. So besides these devices, there's a lot of science that's yet to be discovered that will change things dramatically, from energy to transportation to consciousness, you name it, healing. The implications for the world are just incredible. So that's part of why the UFO question has been kept buried for so long, is that all of these industries are protecting what they have now, because it's once these new sciences come out, then everything changes, everything.
Definitely, and it will change the world in a very good way, and that's very helpful if this will happen. And I hope it will happen soon, Jeffrey.
Oh, me too. Me too. Well, that's why I'm trying to help with the education process to tell people that there are average people, normal people that are seeing incredible things, that anybody can do it. And it's time not to be looking to mass media and politicians to tell you what's true. It's time to take responsibility for that yourself and do your own homework and go out and under the stars and see for yourself and absolutely know what's going on without any shadow of a doubt. So
I do agree with you, and that's why I created this program on the BBS network, and that's why I interview people like yourself to get a new sound.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be on your show.
It's a privilege to have you, Jeffrey. So finally, maybe you can just repeat the website where people can find your book.
Yeah, the book's not out yet. I'm still working on it. I have a day job, so it takes a little time. I hope to have it out by the end of this year. We'll see. The website is paths2contact.org. It's all one word, all lowercase.
Maybe spell it?
PATHSTOCONTACT.org. So paths2contact.org. The book is going to be called Paths to Contact. And I'm thinking about a subtitle, which is True Stories from the Contact Underground. The Contact Underground is a term that was coined by Dr. Joseph Birks, who was one of the first people to have a C-SETI working group in the world. And so he refers to what we do as the Contact Underground. And we're trying to become less underground. But we're still in the shadows.
Well, I think we are coming more and more to the foreground now. And,
I hope so.
And I hope that all the good wishes that you spoke about in this interview will come to pass. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Jeffrey, for being available. And I have a big surprise for the audience and for BBS Radio, because from now on I will do a weekly show, meaning that I will be there every Thursday at 12 noon PST, and that will be 3 p.m. Eastern Time and 9 p.m.
Well, that's great. It would be good to get your message out more often.
Yes, I will. And I hope I will find somebody interesting for next week, like yourself. So, Jeffrey, thank you very much. And thank you, listeners, for being so kind to tune in and to get this information. And I'm doing my best to find interesting people that can share their information. And sometimes those people are not famous, but that's just interesting.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. I know some interesting people. There are people that have contributed to my book, and I'm certainly happy to help you connect with them. And maybe they'll be willing to talk. We'll see.
That will be wonderful.